Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 92. Happy the man who knows his master to obey, whose life of love and labor flows where God points out the way. Hymn number 92. Tonight's lesson is entitled, Heart of Happiness. I'll read from the Bible. Proverbs, he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Psalms, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. 1 John, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Psalms. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Acts. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple of the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That was from Psalms. Proverbs. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Matthew. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. John, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. 1 Chronicles, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Genesis. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Proverbs. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. 1 Samuel. The spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person. And the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of the fools feedeth on foolishness. Psalms. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Proverbs. Whosoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Happiness is spiritual, born of truth and love. It is unselfish. Therefore, it cannot exist alone, but requires all mankind to share it. Harmony is produced by its principle, is controlled by it, and abides with it. Divine principle is the life of man. Man's happiness is not, therefore, at the disposal of physical senses. Soul has infinite resources with which to bless mankind, and happiness would be more readily attained and would be more secure in our keeping if sought in soul. Higher enjoyments alone can satisfy the cravings of immortal man. We cannot circumscribe happiness within the limits of personal sense. The senses confer no real enjoyment. Heart. Mortal feelings, motives, affections, joys, and sorrows. For true happiness, man must harmonize with his principle, divine love. The Son must be in accord with the Father, in conformity with Christ. According to divine science, man is in a degree as perfect as the mind that forms him. The truth of being makes man harmonious and immortal, while error is mortal and discordant. We should examine ourselves and learn what is the affection and purpose of the heart, for in this way only can we learn what we honestly are. If we are ungrateful for life, truth, and love, and yet return thanks to God for all blessings, we are insincere and incur the sharp censure of our master's pronounces on hypocrites. In such a case, the only acceptable prayer is to put the finger on the lips and remember our blessings. While the heart is far from divine truth and love, we cannot conceal the ingratitude of barren lives. What we most need is the prayer of fervent desire for growth in grace expressed in patience, meekness, love, and good deeds. By not perceiving vital metaphysical points, not seeing how mortal mind affects the body, acting beneficially or injuriously on the health, as well as on the morals and happiness of mortals, we are misled in our conclusions and methods. We throw the mental influence on the wrong side, thereby actually injuring those whom we mean to bless. Suffering is no less a mental condition than is enjoyment. You cause bodily sufferings and increase them by admitting their reality and continuance as directly as you enhance your joys by believing them to be real and continuous. The fundamental error lies in the supposition that man is a material outgrowth, and that the cognizance of good or evil, which he has through the bodily senses, constitutes his happiness or misery. The effect of mortal mind on health and happiness is seen in this. If one turns away from the body with such absorbed interest as to forget it, the body experiences no pain. Under the strong impulse of a desire to perform his part, a noted actor was accustomed night after night to go upon the stage and sustain his appointed task, walking about as actively as the youngest member of the company. This old man was so lame that he hobbled every day to the theater and sat aching in his chair till his cue was spoken, a signal which made him as oblivious of physical infirmity as if he had inhaled chloroform, though he was in the full possession of his so-called senses. Mind is the natural stimulus of the body, but erroneous belief, taken at its best, is not promotive of health or happiness. Tell the sick that they can meet disease fearlessly if they only realize that divine love gives them all power over every physical action and condition. Detached sense from the body or matter, which is only a form of human belief, and you may learn the meaning of God or good and the nature of the immutable and immortal. Breaking away from the mutations of time and sense, you will neither lose the solid objects and ends of life, nor your own identity. Fixing your gaze on the realities supernal, you will rise to the spiritual consciousness of being, even as the bird which has burst from the egg and preens its wings for a skyward flight. The loss of earthly hopes and pleasures brightens the ascending path of many a heart. The pains of sense quickly inform us that the pleasures of sense are mortal and that joy is spiritual. The pains of sense are salutary if they wrench away false pleasurable beliefs and transplant the affections from sense to soul, where the creations of God are good, rejoicing the heart. We must reverse our feeble flutterings, our efforts to find life and truth in matter, and rise above the testimony of the material senses, above the mortal, to the immortal idea of God. These clearer, higher views inspire the God-like man to reach the absolute center and circumference of his being. They will then drop the false estimate of life and happiness, of joy and sorrow, and attain the bliss of loving unselfishly, working patiently, and conquering all that is unlike God. Above error's awful din, blackness, and chaos, the voice of truth still calls, Adam, where art thou? Consciousness, where art thou? Art thou dwelling in the belief that mind is in matter and that evil is mind? Or art thou in the living faith that there is and can be but one God, and keeping his commandment? Until the lesson is learned that God is the only mind governing man, mortal belief will be afraid, as it was in the beginning, and will hide from the demand, where art thou? This awful demand, Adam, where art thou, is met by the admission from the head, heart, stomach, blood, nerves, etc. Lo, here I am, looking for happiness and life in the body, but finding only an illusion, a blending of false claims, false pleasures, pain, sin, sickness, and death. The science of being shows it is to be impossible for infinite spirit or soul to be in a finite body, or for man to have an intelligence separate from his maker. It is a self-evident error to suppose that there can be such a reality as organic animal or vegetable life, when such so-called life always ends in death. If the principal rule and demonstration of man's being are not in the least understood before what is termed death overtakes mortals, they will rise no higher spiritually in the scale of existence on account of that single experience, but will remain as material as before the transition, still seeking happiness through a material instead of through a spiritual sense of life. and from selfish and inferior motives. If man is not victorious over the passions, they crush out happiness, health, and manhood. Here, Christian Science is the sovereign panacea, giving strength to the weakness of mortal mind, strength from the immortal and omnipotent mind, and lifting humanity above itself into pure desires, even into spiritual power and goodwill to man. Let the slave of wrong desire learn the lessons of Christian Science, and he will get the better of that desire and ascend a degree in the scale of health, happiness, and existence. Experience should be the school of virtue, and human happiness should proceed from man's highest nature. The vital part, the heart and soul of Christian Science is love. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer and then pray together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let's sing another hymn. It's hymn 93. Happy the man whose heart can rest assured, God's goodness ne'er will cease. Each day complete with joy is blessed. God keepeth him in perfect peace. Hymn number 93.
Thank you.
Good evening again, and welcome to those that have joined us on the call-in line this evening. We're so glad that you are there. I would like to invite anybody that, when they leave, David has a little heart lollipop treat for you all. So be sure and get that as you leave this evening in recognition of Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day tomorrow. And that goes along with the theme of tonight's lesson. That's the teacher in me. I would like to invite anybody that cannot attend our service and would like to submit a testimony to be read during our service to do so by emailing it to me ahead of time, and I'll be glad to share it with the congregation. My email is jeanbates@me.com. We always love to hear from our listeners. David has the microphone, and if you feel more comfortable staying seated, please do so. But now it's your turn to share thoughts or healings that you've had that come to mind, or any inspirations that you would like to share.
Thank you for the readings tonight. I was just thinking to myself, this is a wonderful lesson anytime, but what a joy it is to be a Christian Scientist, and the joy that we feel when we've had a demonstration through the application of Christian Science, where a healing takes place. The first thing you want to do after you've been healed is to tell somebody, hey, I was healed. And think back to your lesson, the guy at the beautiful gate, and when Peter and John looked on him, and he said, rise up and walk, and he leaping up, danced and for joy, and right into the temple with him. He couldn't do that before. He wasn't allowed in the temple because he was lame. But for the first time, he was able to go in. He was there since birth, and the joy that he felt. Well, a lot of times when we have a demonstration, there's joy all around. It's like in Jesus' parable, too, when the woman sweeps her house looking for the lost coin, and she finds the coin, and she calls her neighbors and rejoice with me. I found the coin. So there's so much joy to, because it, Christian Science is an awesome state of consciousness. Even when you just study and you learn, have an aha moment about some spiritual, metaphysical truth that you realize, I can't help but smile and sometimes laugh out loud. So it just is a wonderful lesson to think about, and we need to be reminded how our joy is an inherent right within us, a God-given gift, and nothing can take our joy away from us. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to express my gratitude tonight for the readings, and especially the fact that the thought of love was so prevalent throughout. And an experience I had recently in sharing Christian Science, there's a young gentleman who is a friend of ours through his father-in-law. But the bottom line is, he said to me when we were together, actually we were together at the exercise Lifetime, and he said to me, we happened to be sitting in the hot tub, and he said, you people don't believe in doctors, do you? And I said, that's an interesting comment. I've heard it several times. And actually, it's not that we don't believe in doctors, but we believe more firmly in the opportunity to pray and know our relationship and understand our relationship with God and have a healing through that process. And I said, very, very much in our church is the thought about love. God is love. Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. And that we are made conscious of our relationship to God through love. And I said, he said, well, my person that he's related to, this Christian Scientist, won't go to the doctor. He's been having a problem and yada, yada, yada. And I said, well, let's not be judgmental and know that each of us have to find our relationship and understanding of God in healing through our own demonstrations. And I said, he said, in other words, you do believe in doctors. And I said, you know, doctors do good things, but I'd like to first trust God, trust my relationship with God, believe that God wants me to be perfect and to have a healing if I'm having a physical problem, and not turn to something else. And I've had many wonderful demonstrations in Christian Science of healings. And so that was that. Well, then the next week, we ran each other again, and he said, I want to know more about how you guys think and what your thought process is. You know, for example, if you were having a problem with an illness, or if you were feeling sick, or how would you deal with that? And I said, well, I tried to explain last week. I turned to God, and I turned to my understanding of my relationship to God, all of our relationships to God, and that we are His perfect image and likeness. And all we have to do is hold those thoughts and make our demonstration. Prove it. And I said, Christian Science was discovered and founded by Mary Baker Eddy. And I think what that means is she was suffering and having some issues herself, and she discovered this wonderful thought process of our relationship to God. And with that discovery, she founded our religion, Christian Science. And it's just has so much to offer. And I'm really, you know, pleased you're asking these questions. And I can't answer them all, but I can certainly relate to what you're asking. And then this pamphlet, interesting enough, here's another one, I found in that very Sunday here, and it's got so many wonderful answers about Christian Science. So I took it to him, and he's now asking further questions, which pleases me, but I just feel so blessed that by our demonstration, we share the wonderful, wonderful things that we learn about love and Christian Science. And the last words out of your mouth this evening regarded love. So that was perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. I would so much like to express my gratitude for the readings from the desk tonight. They were just absolutely, it was like you had created tonight's experience just for me. It really was interesting. My brother, who lives out of state, 6 weeks ago was playing tennis and teaching, and all of a sudden he was robbed of happiness and joy, and just got out day before yesterday from the hospital after 6 weeks. It was not expected for him to probably ever come home again. There were so many obstacles, so many things, but all the joy that he's ever had and who he was seemed to be gone. And I was not allowed really to talk to him, so I would send him letters, as did my husband, and there's so much good that has come from music. And there's a certain CD that was shared with me, and I played it in the car continually for the last 6 weeks. And the words were so perfect, and tonight, and the music was so comforting to me. And when he came home and I talked to him this afternoon for the first time, He was like his old self. He was full of joy. He was expressing the lives that he felt he had touched in the hospital. And I thought that's exactly where he has always been and should be. Just for him to be home seemed to be an impossibility. That would not happen. But the joy and the happiness and the fear that took the place of the happiness and joy, all of that seemed to be really healed. And I'm just so thankful that that's exactly what you were talking about tonight. And I'm also thankful for the music and for that CD that comes from this church that is so moving to me and is so healing. I'm so thankful tonight.
Thank you.
I just love those readings. Thank you so much. Over the past couple of years, I've noticed a lot of this one particular bumper sticker that says grateful no matter what. And it's always nice to see that when you're driving in traffic. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be grateful. But I will say that I have tried over the past couple of years to really express gratitude for when things work out, express gratitude, you know, to God. And one thing I think my goal needs to be now is to expand my thinking. My Christian Science teacher said his children, when they came home, would always say, "I have another opportunity to prove God to all this." And I thought, you know, I should be grateful for the opportunities that come my way to prove God's all this, not just wait until, you know, something worked out, but to expand my thinking a little bit. So that's, I think that's my new goal. But I will say that I have noticed over the last couple of years doing this that I really do, I really have been a lot happier. And I realize it's because I'm thanking God for things, not just going through the day and, well, I'm glad that worked out, and not, and really realizing that all God is the source of all good. That's my new goal, is to look at things as another opportunity to prove God's allness. Thank you again for the reason, for the little treat we're going to get later.
Thank you. Shirley's testimony reminded me of something that happened to me. We were returning the library books, or the talking books, and I had a library book too to return. And we had done about 3 or 4 errands, and that was the last one. And I was anxious to get home and, you know, relax and or get on to something else. And it started raining, and we pulled in, and there were like 4 cars right in where you park to drop your books off, and in the little slot. And I started grumbling to myself, thinking, "Oh, here I am, it's starting to rain, and I've got to go park clear over here, and there's no parking place here." And as I'm parking the car, there's a little voice that said to me, "You need to be grateful for the fact that you were able to get these books in the first place, because they were the ones that we got when it was 30 degrees below zero, and I didn't even know if the library was going to be open for us to take them to Texas with us." And so as I'm walking in the rain to the place to drop them off, the nicest feeling filled my heart as I was walking toward the gratitude. And I thought, boy, that is some, it just looked like a light bulb, you know, went from the, and I was just so happy. In 2 seconds, that of just realizing my gratitude for having those books on the way and that the library was open. And I just was so totally shut up that mortal mind. So thanks for reminding me of that, because that fit in with the lesson. Thank you.
Since we're talking about love tonight, I noticed after I retired from my job, the one thing that I missed the most was not the work, of course. The thing I loved about my job is that we were in an office and there was continual coming in and out, in and out, in and out, day after day after day. And I just loved engaging with the students. I love engaging with the parents and the teachers. And that was my favorite part of my job. And so I've come to think, you know, I felt like I missed that a bit. And I'm pretty outgoing, but I've decided that wherever I do go during the day, whether it's to the grocery store or to Panera or Walmart, anywhere, that I want to engage people. And I'm making a point of asking them how they're doing, because some people just look like they're going through their jobs and they're like not having a really great day, or they're just kind of zoned out. And I'm sure a lot of people here do that too, but I just am having so much fun doing that with everybody that I come in contact with. And you can certainly see the difference. It's not me, it's the God love that they're feeling, and I'm just enjoying doing that. So that's kind of my new job, and I'm enjoying it.
Thank you.
Thanks for your lesson.
Thank you. Well, let's conclude our service by singing our last hymn. I want to thank you all for your sharing this evening. We're going to sing hymn number 474 out of the supplement. It is a familiar words that are in the other our old hymnal, but it's a new tune. I'll read the third verse. In thy house securely dwelling, where thy children live to bless, seeing only thy creation, we can share thy happiness, share thy joy, and spend it freely. Loyal hearts can feel no fear. We, thy children, know thee, Father, love and life forever near. Hymn number 474.
Your children, O ye Father,
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen Line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.